The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Welcome to the Yellow Block on the TalkSport Fan Network. Unseasonably warm weather and even hotter goings-on in PE2, where the transfer window has creaked shut. We still have JCH and Ronnie Edwards, but that didn't help us against Pompey. Joining me to discuss the last couple of weeks is Mr. Jared Farmer. Good evening, sir.
Good evening, Timothy. You well?
I'm not too bad. It's too hot. I'm not going to lie. I don't do well in the heat, but other than that, I'm okay. Yourself?
It's very, very similar, mate. I'm built for comfort. I'm not built for this kind of weather. It's been testing and it's been rough.
Have you ever been a little spoon? Are you always a big? I can't imagine you as a little spoon. I don't think that would work physically.
How big's that big spoon if I'm the little one?
That's what I mean. I can't imagine. I don't know. But then I reckon if I was the little spoon, if I was the big spoon to your little spoon, you'd be able to really kind of get around that little spoon. I think that would, you know, like in a cutlery drawer where they all just sit neat. I think that would work quite nicely. We should cuddle sometime. Transfer window shut there, Mr. Farmer. Quite an eventful last day after it seemed to have been a relatively quiet, calm and collected transfer window. I suppose we've got to start with the big story here, which is Mr. Johnson Clark-Harris. So just to recap, we got word from Darren McAntony that JCH was given permission to talk to a club about 3 hours before the window was due to shut. QX going into meltdown around, well, multiple things, really. One, where's he going? I feel like at some point he was connected to every club in the country. And also the fact that we were shipping out our only striker, having earlier on in the day got rid of Tissiamanga, and nobody coming in. It was quite a chaotic few hours. Then transpired that there was an error with the paperwork, allegedly, and that's why JCH remains a posh player, Jared. But it was all quite frantic and, very posh-like, really, wasn't it, let's be honest?
Well, in fairness to posh, very posh-like, but I don't think it was our error this time. I mean, I don't understand the mentality of clubs, why they all panic and do everything. I mean, you're talking literally minutes. I think the JCH transfer didn't go through because of, like, you know, 90 seconds or something. It's just, the mind boggles. I do not understand why clubs just don't get it done sooner.
No, and I can't, you know, we've had a story from Darren around why this happened and we've had a statement from Bristol Rovers, but I feel like there's more to this than what's been let on. Would a club have Bristol's status, and I don't mean that in a demeaning way, quite the opposite, would they let a paperwork error stop their transfer record signing going through? I don't buy it myself. I completely agree with you though. Why is it all left to the last minute? In any case, it meant that we suddenly went into buying mode and bought in a couple of players, which we'll come on to. But I guess for me, Jared, the question is, where does this leave JCH now? Because he was not in the squad the following day, perhaps understandably so. But will he feature? I've heard some people say he'll go out on loan to Bristol until January. If he does feature, will he be committed? It's a weird dynamic now, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's strange for him and it's strange for the club personally. From the club's point of view, I'd have zero interest in playing him. Yes, you can. He's a 30-goal a season striker. Yeah, he is. But the club will sell him in January.
If I was Darren Ferguson or, you know, the hierarchy at the club, I wouldn't. There's no sense in playing him. It makes no sense. The club are going to sell him in January. So if we do play him and he's our shining light, then it just disrupts the season even more. So between now and then, we need to try and play without him. And yeah, just if we can get him out on loan, I didn't know that was an option, but if we can get him out on loan and then obviously make the deal permanent in January, ideal. But yeah, having him in and around the place, I'm not saying that he's one to kick off or anything like that, but I just can't see the sense in it.
No, it's a difficult one, isn't it? It does give Fergie an interesting problem. I think the fact that we had this kind of unscheduled 2 weeks off will hopefully have given Darren time to work out what his plan is around there. Because obviously he would have ended the transfer window with JZH not in his plans at all. So it's an odd one, isn't it? It's a really strange situation because you've got two times League One Golden Boot winner there. And most of us are saying he doesn't even make it into the match day squad anymore. It's a really odd, strange dynamic. Slightly more positive news was really no news, I guess, on Ronnie Edwards, who incredibly is still a Peterborough United player. For a player of his ability at his age and, let's be honest, his nationality, I can't get my head around the fact he's still playing at Posh. It's great for us. But yeah, Edwards is still a... is still a player that Dan can swoon over, Jared. It's a, I don't know. I mean, will he go January? It's just odd, isn't it?
Again, I think, yeah, he probably will. I think the club wanted him out, didn't they? But again, couldn't get the price that they've quoted. So, yeah, I don't like players hanging around when, you know, we all know where they're going. So, but again, he's a young player. He knows he's going to get his move. I should think he's a little bit frustrated with the clubs that did come in. I think Swansea were in and West Ham as well. So a lot bigger clubs than Posh. But his move will happen. He's a quality footballer and he's a very, very good player. So we get him for a little bit longer.
Yeah, that's very true. In terms of coming in the door, obviously a lot of this was based on the fact, I suspect, that JCH was going out. So again, an odd setup perhaps, but paid actual human money for Swindon Town forward Jacob Wakelin. And then we also took on a three, Malik Mothersill, formerly of Chelsea. I say three, but we are free even, but we technically would have had to pay Chelsea compensation fee because of his age. So again, human like money paid for two strikers there, Jared. I know we don't know too much about them just yet. At the time of recording, we haven't played the Cambridge game, and I would expect both of them to feature in that one. But in terms of a like-for-like replacement, it doesn't appear they're like-for-like in terms of JCH's style, but they are both bright, young, exciting prospects, which, as we know, normally do well up front at Posh.
Yeah, it's exciting. I mean, they could be the next Dwight Gale or Samba Longa. They could be the next Luke James, couldn't they? So we really don't know at this stage. But like you say, it is exciting. I wasn't expecting a like-for-like replacement. I think I said it on the podcast 2 or 3 weeks ago that I'm quite looking forward to having them, you know, that Mikhail Smith kind of strikers back where, you know, they're running off the shoulder, they're chasing the channels. And I think the way we play a football at the minute, that would work. This is what I'm genuinely not too concerned about losing JCH for that reason alone, really.
Yeah, I think most of us were kind of ready for that JCH deal to happen. I do wonder, though, and you touched on it there about the club were hoping this would happen in terms of Ronnie Edwards leaving potentially. Do you think that the club are in trouble? The fact that Ronnie Edwards aside, obviously this JCH money was rumoured to be around 800k. Do we think that we're in a bit of an issue there with the fact that that money hasn't gone through?
Yeah, absolutely. Allegedly, I believe that anyway. It's a tough one, isn't it? I mean, for any club our size, you get offers of... I should think the offer for Edwards was probably around 2 to 3 million, not quite what they wanted with the four or the five that they're after, but... And then 800k for JCH isn't a bad deal, given the fact that he hasn't got long left on his contract. So, no, I should think that they've been banking on it. But again, come January, they will get that money through, won't they? But it's certainly not ideal. And again, the position we're in financially, we can all make our own judgments on it. It's slightly worrying. So we do need them funds in, don't we?
We do. And it's weird with Ronnie Edwards and talking about money. For me, it's not so much the fact he stayed, which is great. Obviously, he's a great player, but it was the fees that were being rumoured for him. I can't get my head around it. This is an England under 21 international with real potential, who is the only England under 21s player, to my knowledge, playing outside of the top two divisions. A really great, composed footballer. And they're talking about like 3-4 million. I can't fathom this, especially when the likes of Maguire, who, well, Maguire go for crazy money. I can't. I don't know. I do feel like there's a real mis-selling of Ronnie Edwards' value.
It's the football snobbery, and it's infuriating. I remember speaking to loads of different friends at the time, producer Danny being one of them, about Ivan Toney. I know we always harp on about him, but we're in League One. We could see as football fans, not just posh fans, that he was, even back then, Premier League striker. And it's the same with Edwards. Maybe he needs a little bit more nurturing than Ivan Toney did, but he's still at that level. He's still got that level in him, hasn't he? And like you say, I think he's won, was it the World Cup or the Euros with the England youth setup? He's clearly a very good player, but it's because he's in League One, unfortunately. He'd done it in the Championship. He was solid in the Championship. But he's going to need that move, that secondary move, before he gets his big money move and everyone sees what we're seeing now. And it's going to be one of them I told you so moments.
Yeah, I wonder if he'll, unlike Toney, Toney has done that kind of move, and then the big move's yet to happen, because he's absolutely flying with Bournemouth, Brentford even prior to his suspension. I think that Edwards will go to a Premiership club next and then potentially be loaned out somewhere, whether that's back to us or the Championship, I don't know. But I think he will get his big move. And I was surprised it didn't happen, because I feel like we needed the money. I don't know. I mean, who knows what's going on behind the scene? Potentially there's already a deal in place. But now that the window's shut, Jared, I'm just going to give you a list of names. If you could just rate these out of 10 based on how good you think this is for the club. So Romoni Critchlow.
Ooh.
10 is good, obviously. And these are all the incomings, first of all.
Thanks for explaining that 10's good. do you know what, I'll go for, I think he's a solid League One player. He does look a bit clumsy for me, though. He's ever so clumsy, but I'll say 6.
I don't buy solid League One player at all, but I guess that's why we have different opinions. This guy is a concern for me. I mean, granted, he's young. The whole point of him being here is to develop, but yeah, he's our player, so I'm concerned, really, slightly. Finn Talley, I know we haven't seen a lot yet from him, but he did feature in the League Cup game, sorry.
Very difficult to rate him, isn't it? I think he plugs a gap. Yep. 5.
I know we haven't seen him play as yet. Malik Mothersill, how excited are you about this one?
Not very, because I can't pronounce his surname. It just doesn't sit right. It doesn't sound right. Are you sure it's not Motherville?
No, it's Mothersill.
I'm not going to be one of them fans that said I've watched Chelsea youth games. I haven't, and nor has anyone else. I would say, again, solid 5. We don't know.
We don't know. I'm excited about this one. I've got a funny feeling this is going to be a brilliant signing for us. Hopefully, obviously, I'm right. Interested on this one, Archie Collins.
I think he'll end up becoming a really good, solid player for us. I'll go for another 6.
Like a glass coffin, remains to be seen for me. Again, we haven't seen him play yet, but Jacob Wakelin from Swindon came with a big reputation, this guy.
Yeah, again, this one reminds me of the Jack Marriott signing, because it's weird because where did he come from? Is it Swindon?
Swindon, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he wasn't really getting a game for them, was he? I think he's third or fourth choice. And it was the same with Jack Marriott at the time, and bear in mind, Luton weren't what they are now. So it's a strange one. We've obviously seen something that others haven't, which is quite exciting because we have got a good track record for it. And I'm excited about this one. We'll see. But again, I've never seen the fella play. I presume he's quick, he's young. I'd give him a 6.
Kipriano as well, another player that came with a reputation from the fans that wasn't great, but has turned out to be a great player. Nicholas Balakovic, or Bilo, as we prefer to call him.
Yeah, no, I'm still happy with him. I know he has, the Northampton game, he had a bit of a freak incident, didn't he? And he hasn't looked, I think it's wobbled his confidence a little bit. But no, I think it's harsh to completely write him off after a couple of little blips. So no, I'm happy with that. I think it's a solid 8 so far.
Fair play. Yeah. It's another interesting one. Ryan de Havilland.
I haven't seen him. He has barely played, has he? I think he's come on a few times. But again, is he just going to be one of these squad players? I think he come with a decent reputation, but I haven't seen nowhere near enough of these players to be really commenting, to be fair. So yeah, let's go with the 6 again. Can't get moaned out on that.
He's got dreadful hair, but then I can't say anything. I know I'm expecting high figures here. Peter Kyoso.
Do you know what? I'm a 30-year-old man now, but I've never had favourite players. Obviously, apart from the god George Boyd, I had him everywhere. When I say had him everywhere, I'd like to just say that it was like posters and stuff. I've not been intimate with him.
What you do in your own time, Jared, is up to you.
I just love players who actually give a fuck, if you know what I mean. He just, he's up and down the wing. He's in people's faces. And I don't mean just aggression, but he just cares. And bear in mind, he's on loan. So when he come in, I weren't too clear. I thought, Rotherham, fucking hell. They're not wanting him. I just thought, yes, he's not going to be a good one. But no, I wish he was permanent. I think he's been absolutely top end so far. So, yeah, I mean, for the club, it's not great because he's a loan player, but his performances so far for me, solid 9.
Yeah, definitely. Along with Kipiano, I'd say sort of player of the season so far for us. I know we're only a few games in, but certainly he's been in that discussion. Another loan. Again, haven't seen anything of him yet, but Zach Sturge from Chelsea.
Again,
left back. Interesting one, this one, because it's a left back. So I would assume he will play second fiddle to Burrows.
Yeah, it's a bit of a strange one for me because we get him on loan, but we had obviously Tomlinson as well in the boot, and he was our own player. But
and he was good. He was ripping it up in league.
Yeah,
he was really. And the times he played for us, he looked okay. I think a strange one, but
he did. It's very odd, but yeah, again, I never heard of the fella. Chelsea youth team. Yeah, we'll see. 6.
You need to start watching some Chelsea youth games, Jared.
I can't. I don't have to. There's loads of posh fans that have seen them all play, so I just let them comment.
That's very true. And then last incoming was a loan, 18-year-old Jadal Katongo, centre-back from Man City, who I suspect, and I may be wrong, was bought in, assuming Edwards was going to be going in the other direction.
100%. And he can't be over 12 or 13, can he? You've seen him.
Yeah. Well, allegedly, he's 18.
Yeah, he looks very, very lightweight, doesn't he? But clearly, if he's in the Man City setup, you guarantee he's good on the ball and things like that. But yeah, just slightly concerned me, League One, some of the lumps they have up front in that league. So, yeah, we'll see how he gets on, but hopefully it's a good signing.
Yeah, thing with Jade as well is he was in City's, like, elite youth team. So kind of like, I can't remember what they call it now, but like they're sort of like their equivalent to under-21s and 18 that is as well. He's got a decent number of caps as well. So, I mean, he's clearly got something about him. But yeah, remains to be seen a little bit with him. In terms of going out, so ratings here, I guess, in terms of how good a deal this is for the club, I suppose. So starting off with a big one, which was Jack Taylor. So 1.75 million to Ipswich, who haven't yet played him. What would you score this for the club?
Yeah, I think it's cheap. I really do. I mean, yeah, he was solid enough in it. Was he in the Championship? I think he started well, didn't he, but dropped off a little bit, which is disappointing. But again, I think he's a player who will move on for plenty of money in the future. And obviously, I'm sure we'll get a sell on in that. But disappointing, really. I think the fee was, I was quite shocked. I thought it was a little lower than what I was expecting.
So disappointing for the club, this one?
Yeah, I'd say so.
Okay. Joe Ward out, free transfer to Wayne Rooney's Derby.
Yeah, it was disappointing not to get any money for him, but what can you do? I think they tried many, many times to get him over the line. But yeah, I think I get him vibes that I think he thinks he's a little bit better than what he is, but a really solid player. And you know, if he was still with us, I'd be delighted. So yeah, it's one of them. It's disappointing that we couldn't get a fee for him, but it's no fault of the club, really.
Trio of players to League One leaders, Steve Evans, Stevenage. First up was Nathan Thompson.
Like I said at the start of the season, it was time to move him on. Really solid player for us, done a great job. But yeah, he's on the decline now, isn't he?
Yeah, joining him at the back was Dan Butler.
Solid player. I like Butler. I thought he was a good player. I would have kept him. He'd probably be in my starting 11, to be fair. But I know many of the posh fans had had enough of him. But yeah, I don't think you can go too wrong with him, to be fair.
No, I was disappointed with this next one. Ben Thompson's also gone to Stevenage.
No, I agree. I don't agree with you. I disagree. I didn't see a player in there at all. He ran around a lot, but yeah, I don't think he offered much at all. I think you can replace him easily, like you just said, with the Haviland and players like that. I think he ticks a box.
Yeah, he's a squad. He is a squad player. I don't deny that. But for me, I feel like he had more to him. Gone off in search of European football. Frankie Kent's gone north of the border.
Yeah, well, he won't get that in Scotland because of all shit anyway. But he was a great player. Really liked Frankie Kent. And it would have been... I'd like to have kept him and had him as a captain. But League One team, he's had his time here, innit? What has he been? 4 or 5 years, I think. I'm probably wrong on that. But feels like he's been around a while. He's had his cycle with us, isn't he? So he deserves a move. Just shame he's gone up north.
Yeah, most predictable transfer ever. This one's been planned for about a decade. Oliver Norburn's gone back to Blackpool.
Not too fussed. He was a solid player, but he'd been one and out for a while, hadn't he? So, yeah, time to move him on.
Christy Pym from the Borrowers has left. He's gone to Mansfield.
Horrible little prick. Move on.
And then we've talked about him already. A little bit disappointed with this one personally. Joe Tomlinson has gone to MK Dons. Yeah, weird one, isn't it, with Thompson? Because I always found Joe Tomlinson a player that I wanted to see more of. There was clearly something happened behind the scenes that we're not privy to, because whenever he went out on loan, he did really well. Whenever he played for us, he did well. And he went out on loan at a time when we had no other left back. So there must be something going on with him. But in any case, he's now gone on a permanent to Milton Keynes.
Yeah, it's strange, isn't it? Like I say, fans always saw that he was quite a decent player, and he wasn't just... You got a standard left back like Dan Butler who gets the job done, but he seemed to have that side to him. But he also had a good left foot on him, didn't he? I think he was, you know, a bit of a free kick specialist as well. So would have been nice to see what he could do. Shame he's gone there. He's playing in front of an empty stadium. It's going to be no fun for him. But yeah, good luck to him. Not a bad deal. At least we got a feed, didn't we?
Yeah, and then finally another bit of a weird one. This one, May 31st, we officially signed Kabongo Tshimanga. And then also on May 31st, we agreed in principle a deal for Kabongo Tshimanga to join Fleetwood. He's initially gone on loan with the view to a transfer. Weird one, this one. Where do you stand on Tishy?
I was quite excited when he came through the door. I thought I had seen a little bit of him. That's probably because he didn't play for Chelsea reserves. But yeah, he did look a solid player, and posh type of signing, but yeah, it's not worked for him, is it? He hasn't really had the minutes. Don't get me wrong, he's had a couple of starts and he really hasn't performed when he's had them chances. So yeah, disappointing. I'm fully expecting to leave on a permanent.
Yeah, I don't think he's the player that we would have signed if we'd got him before the injury, unfortunately. We were promised kids. Average age of players in is 21. Average age of players out is just short of 26. So they have lowered the average age of the squad this year. So all in all then, Jared, if you were to rate our transfer window as a total out of 10, what are you giving us?
I'm not too excited with the incomings, but I think in regards to the outgoings, although it's been a bit of a failed job, but if you go on paper, we've kept our better players, really, haven't we? Lost a few of the experienced members of the squad, but in fairness to the club, I think it's been a solid window. 7.5.
I think it's maybe different to what we expected. I think we expected lots out and, you know,
definitely
kids from like Dawkins under 12s to come in. So I feel like we've done better perhaps than we anticipated.
You say that though, wouldn't you prefer dog and duck youngster than someone from Man City who, you know, we've got no chance in signing on a permanent?
No, with a bollocks. No, you want to see the best players play at your club, right? Even if you've only got them for a year. Because let's be honest, Jared, if we signed Dan Smith from the Dog and Duck and he turned out to be any good, he'd be gone in a year anyway.
I know, but that benefits the club, doesn't it? Us having Zach Surge, or Zorg, whatever his name is, with us. And if he smashes it, he makes Chelsea a pretty penny, doesn't he? It's the same as when we had Ben White.
But I guess
we're a part of the journey, but you don't benefit really, do you? On the field, maybe, but... We know that this club is all about making money and keeping the business afloat. So these loans, they just make no sense to me, really.
Well, I guess it's a balancing act, isn't it? Could we sign the three players to cover the positions that we've brought in on loan? Yeah, probably, but they wouldn't necessarily be the quality that we need to achieve what we want on the pitch. It's that balancing act, isn't it, between bringing in your own assets and bringing in assets that can help plug a gap or provide a little bit of quality. And I personally think with the extra minutes we're playing this season and with the extra suspensions that we're going to be getting because of all the extra yellows, I think we'll need that depth. I'm quite excited. I feel, you know, if you'd given me this transfer window back in the start of the summer, I'd have been quite surprised, particularly that we've kept Edwards. the JCH thing, I feel, leaves a little bit of a sour taste in, because I feel the club needed that money. And I do worry that that's going to have consequences. I think you could tell Darrell was quite disappointed by the way that that all played out. Whether there's more to that or not, I don't know. But I expected more out, if I'm honest with you, Jared. I thought we would lose Edwards, and I thought we would lose, you know, some of the other ones like Mason Clark, Poku, people like that. I thought they would go. And as it stands, we've kept all of them.
Yeah, I agree. Like I say, we have kept a lot of our better players, which is brilliant. Again, with the club's position, was we expecting a fire sale? You'd like to think not, but it could have happened, couldn't it? So we have kept the majority of them. And I think it's much harder. A few years ago, 2009, 10, 11, there wasn't many clubs recruiting from non-league, League 2. And now, again, I think that's due to what we've done. Other clubs have adopted that style, who have got a bigger budget, and, you know, do it a little bit better now because of them reasons. So I think we scout a lot of the players that end up going to Norwich, Bournemouth, and, you know, Brentford, teams like that. But one person you've not mentioned is, was it Benjamin Arthur? I think he went for nearly £1 million, didn't he, to Brentford. And all the money that's been put in regards to youth setup and things like that, I know that the goal is to make money, which they've done. But you sold the dream of, you know, you're going to get these players, and we're going to, in through what I think he was here from 8 and 9, get the players in at that age, completely put them through the Peterborough United Academy, and then, you know, you get to see them as a first teamer. We all love and adore them, and then they get sold on for, you know, good profit. And it was like we're skipping that bit out, and it happened with is it Nascimento, who went to Crystal Palace. It's a little bit, it's disappointing because you get bigged up by them, don't you? You're constantly hearing it from Dara and others, you know, wait until you see this player. Well, we don't get a chance to see them. You know, they're out the door before we've got a chance. So I'm all for having the academy and, you know, that will run the club. And don't get me wrong, they've got a good deal for it. But it's just you're missing out the part that you enjoy as a fan, aren't you?
Yeah. But ultimately, we always knew that when the new owners came in, it was that change in model from just buy young and hungry and sell for profit to sort of having different revenue streams. And I guess this is that balancing act, and maybe we're seeing that a bit more. You're quite right with what you say, though. I wonder, though, does it, now that the window's closed, has it changed your predictions for the season at all? Granted, you've got, you know, how many games we played now, like 6-7 games as well to work off. Have your predictions changed, do you think, from the summer?
No, I did say this summer that wasn't expected much. I think I probably said 14th. I think we potentially could get top half, but yeah, no, not really. I think we'll be in and around, you know, 14th mid-table.
Yeah, I actually think I've seen enough. I know we haven't seen these new guys yet, but I actually feel like they're coming from good stock, so they will probably add to the team rather than take away. So I actually feel like we'll do a little bit better than what I initially predicted. I don't think we'll be a million miles off a playoff race, which will be a great outcome, I think, compared to where we were just a few months ago. We asked on X as well, how would you rate this transfer window overall? Loads of replies. Feel free if you want to jump in on any of these, Jared, if any of these tickle your fancy. Dave F says, slightly better than expected, provided JCH keeps his cool about the Bristol Rovers debacle. Despite retaining our top two assets, I still can't see us making the top eight, which is fine as we're in year one of a 3-year rebuild. Not sure how this outcome impacts Peterborough's financial position, though. Ian Gow says, Ronnie will never go because no one else in football values him as much as the estate agent. JCH will be gone in January. Charlie White says, managed to keep both big assets despite blatantly wanting to get rid of both. Neil Hubbard says, well above expectations for me. Some quality looking additions, especially Collins. From the off-field perspective, would have been handy to move on JCH and get in a cheaper alternative, but hard to comment too much on that side of things. So overall, very positive given the club strategy. Levi Crisp, I think people have forgotten how low expectations were at the beginning of June. The team is far better than I expected it to be. Tom Hutchinson's shipped out two players that aren't good enough, kept our biggest assets, bought in a forward who was on the shortlist for the League Two Player of the Year last season, and two loans from big clubs, 9 out of 10 for me. From a turnover financial fair play point of view, a bit of a worry though. JCH is a big earner and not worth 800,000 in Jan. That's an interesting point, Jared, actually. I'll come back to that in a second. Mitch Brightwell, some good signings, a crazy end to it, but that's posh for you. Everything ends up last minute. We could have done with signing one or two more players, 7.5 out of 10. And then finally, posh fan 007. Defence is a bit better. Probably could have done with more depth in fullbacks. Midfield is done. Probably improved in forward lines with Wakelin over Tishimanga. I'd say 7 out of 10. Not improving depth is probably the biggest weakness. Quite a varied plethora of views there. But just with what Tom was saying, Jared, about from a turnover financial fair play perspective, he's saying that JCH is a big earner and won't be worth 800k in Jan. It's a really interesting point. Going back to what you were saying about we can't play him, he doesn't have a place in this squad. That will kill his value, right?
Yeah, potentially. But I think what he's done recently will still hold that value. And clubs get a little bit more desperate in January because you may have a team who's, you know, going for top two, who their striker's injured, and they, you know, they desperately need someone who can just hit the ground running and get the goals. JCH can do that. So for me, I still think we'll get certainly near that, if not, you know, the exact fee that they agreed with Bristol Rovers. I can see, and I don't think they're interested to you here, but someone like Wrexham, they've signed that Stephen Fletcher. I think he's passed it. I think they're that little scouse fella they got up front who broke his ribs and stayed in Ryan Reynolds' house for a month.
Mullen, you mean?
Mullen, that's it. If he's not back, then again, they can throw $6,000 or $7,000 a week at JCH, can't they? So I think we'll get the money for him. But I am looking at it a little bit more with a business head on after all the stuff we've heard about the club. So ideally, you want to be moving Edwards and JCH on as soon as, really.
Yeah, I wonder if a deal will be done already or will be done imminently in the next couple of weeks that says that he will go in January. If I'm Bristol Rovers, I just come back now and say, just do us a deal now. I did read somewhere that loans are still an option, so potentially that. But even if that isn't an option, you want to get them tied down to it now so that that money is secured in Jan. I don't think he'll lose too much value between now and then, even if he's not playing, to be fair. But that's the transfer window. It was a frantic end. But I suppose overall, you have to be relatively happy. And I guess that's echoed with what the fans are saying on X there, really. It seems okay. It feels like we've could potentially do a little bit more in terms of squad depth, but then I feel like we always say that. It feels like maybe the defence is better, but then there's still a lot of unknowns, isn't there, I guess, in terms of these youngsters that have come in. We haven't even seen them play yet, and here we are trying to rate them and trying to mark the transfer window.
Exactly. It's an impossible job, but you'd argue we've got more options off the bench than we did before, haven't we? So, and the bench was looking incredibly thin. So, it's a positive. We're in a better position now, so let's see what we can do.
Yeah, not so positive news, though. We'll have a quick break, and then we will look back at our drubbing on the South Coast.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
So Portsmouth 3, Posh 1, feels like an age ago now, probably because it was quite forgettable, this one, Jared. It was, if I'm honest, it was kind of a copy and paste of the Derby game. Started really well, put together some really good passages of play, scored, and then just went, that'll do for us, that's our half an hour done, and just went into complete self-destruct mode. And really, we were lucky it didn't end up being another 4-2 or even worse. It was woeful after we scored again.
Yeah, you're right. We started well, controlled the game, and then the defending. I mean, you mentioned earlier Critchlow. It was shocking, like really embarrassing. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of tapered my expectations a little bit, that has. But disappointing, really disappointing.
Yeah, I think for me, it was the fact that it was so much of a copy and paste of the Derby game the week before concerned me a lot, because we hear a lot, don't we, from Darren about, you know, players will learn from this, we'll go back and we'll look at what we could have done differently. But clearly something wasn't learned because we did the exact same thing. And I wonder, is that coming from on the pitch or is it a tactic thing? There's clearly something, because it happened 2 weeks in a row whereby you start well, you push them back, you score, And then I don't know if they're just putting on the brakes or if they're told to sit back. But as soon as you invite pressure, this defence just can't cope with it.
Yeah, I don't have the answer. I wish I did. I'd be getting hold of Fergie. But it's a strange one. Like you say, when he says all the right things after. And then kind of performance happened, don't they? But you'd like to think not in a row. So that's what we've experienced at the minute. It is worrying because, like you said, the same mistakes are being made. And you can almost see it coming, can't you? We start well, we score. And then you just see the daft mistakes. But a lot of the mistakes come from the way Fergie wants to play football. You know, all the tippy-tappy stuff around the 18-yard. I've never been a fan of that, to be fair.
But you're more of a Steve Evans character, aren't you? The opposition can't score if the ball's anywhere near our box. That's a Steve
slightly,
Evans.
Motto. I mean, yes, slightly. Well, more Steve Evans waistline, that's for sure. But I think it's difficult because we do play good football. And when it comes off, which it has many times this season so far, you're watching the pattern, you think, bloody hell, you know, we're a really good passing team. And I think we have been so far this season. But with that, certainly at this level, comes mistakes at the back, don't it? And it's frustrating to watch because, like you say, you can almost forecast it. So it's one of them. It comes with the territory of playing that way, doesn't it?
It does. And actually, there are definitely positives to take from both the Portsmouth and the Derby game, which is odd when we're talking about capitulations. But in both cases, for the first half hour, we looked really, really good, like top two good. And I think that's why my expectations have come up. My concern would be if we had lost Ronnie, because we like to play out from the back and he's so composed on the ball. If we had lost Ronnie, we would have been in trouble. The concern I've got, and you're right with what you say there, is that Critchlow isn't that type of player for me. He's not someone that can keep calm like Ronnie does and find that pass. He needs to just get rid of it. He can't cope with it. And I suppose that's what we need Fergie to do something about, I guess. The other thing, I guess, around Critchlow, and we saw it in this Pompey game, because he's so poor on the ball, let's be honest, he was poor on the ball, is we've got Josh Knight on the bench. Now, Josh Knight is our player, and he's a player that Dara said will be getting a new contract soon, or at least offered a new contract. I can't fathom for me, and I'm hoping you might have the answer, as to why we're playing Critchlow over our own player, who is a good player. I can't. Why is Knight not making it next to Ronnie Edwards at the back there? I don't get it. I'm hoping you might have a different view.
Yeah, I think it's down to Josh Knight wanting out, really. I think he was very close, wasn't he, to QPR? Maybe another move up north. And obviously they've all fallen through, and it looks like he's staying. So I think that will change in the coming weeks. I think you'll see that he does end up being an integral part of the defence, and he needs to be because. Mm-hmm. For me, yeah, I'd be having him again playing alongside Edwards. And then when Edwards leaves, you know, you can put Critchlow back in there. But yeah, like you say, the way we want to play football, Critchlow reminds me a little bit of Gabby Zakwani. Clumsy on the ball. Don't get me wrong, does the defending, but does he? I don't know, Portsmouth he didn't. But you can see he's a bit of a battler, though, in regards to defending. But on the ball, does look a little bit clumsy. So yeah, I would be having Knight in the 11 without a shadow of a doubt. And I think he's a bit of a leader as well, isn't he?
Yeah, absolutely is. And he's versatile. So obviously he can play anywhere in that back three and he can play further forward in a sort of defensive midfield role. So for me, he's a no-brainer. I do think that I don't see a player in Critchlow, but it's probably unfair just to pick on him after the Pompey game because they're all poor. Even Kyoso, who both you and I have said has been really, really impressive this season. Even he was poor against Portsmouth. I don't think anyone in that back line had a particularly good game. But being more positive and at the risk of dredging up old conversations again, Ricky J. Jones for the first half an hour was storming that. He had free run of that left touch line. And then, of course, we've got the news since then that he's now out again for 3 weeks. It feels like we're just copying and pasting conversations that we've had before about Ricky.
He's made a rich tea, and he bless him. It's a shame because, like I've said for a while, I've seen him in games like we all have, and he's been fantastic. And you can see a player in there, but it's deja vu, isn't it? He plays well, he gets into the team. You think, hang on, he's going to go on a run here, and then you know something in him snaps and breaks down.
Mm. Yeah. Would you? I wonder, Jared, if you were Fergie, if you were the manager, you're playing Football Manager or FIFA or whatever. Do you keep Ricky J. Jones or do you sell him in the transfer window?
I think it's getting close now to cutting your ties. But would I sell him this season? No. And I can't remember if one of the lads on the podcast made a really good point about, you know, if he wasn't one of our own, would he have been sold on already? Yes, he would have. That's just a fact. He would have done. Again, we all see that talent in there, don't we? We all see what he can do. And if he can get them run of games and he keep his fitness up, maybe, you know, it's not his fitness, it's you know, it's what goes wrong with his body. But then, yeah, he can do a job.
Yeah, we don't. So I think that was a point I was making on the pod about the fact he's our own player, but it's more around the fact that when he burst onto the scene, like, everyone's really excited because this kid's fast, he's great, he's got so much potential. And that was like, feels like years, well, it was years ago now. Is, have we seen enough development in that time to warrant him still being in the squad? I'd argue we haven't. Is he a better player than he was 3-4 years ago? I don't think he is at all. No, I think he's the same. I don't think he's developed anywhere near enough for me. And he's just, he doesn't, I mean, he was great against Portsmouth. He has these games. He was great against Man City. But he doesn't give us enough anymore, I don't feel. He should have been out on loan a year ago, 2 years ago. We missed that boat, I think.
Yeah, I agree completely. He should have gone out on loan. I think he's developed physically slightly. We're saying he still gets injured. But in the sense where he looks a little bit more of a footballer, he was a bit more gangly back then, weren't he? So, again, that's an age thing. He's developing that way. But, yeah, progress on the pitch, not really. He's still just got that, you know, pace. A bit of trickery, but that's what he's always had, isn't it? You really come on in the Papa John's Trophy a few years ago. I think he was 16, 17 when we first saw him. So, no, fully agree with you there, Tim, that he hasn't really developed much on the field.
Yeah, I don't think so. Hey, Jared, here's one for you. We've had a voice clip in from Emerald Posh.
Hello, Yellow Block. It's Emerald Posh again. I've got another question. What would you rather have? What's it crumbs permanently in and around your fingers, or what's it crumbs permanently in and around your teeth?
I mean, it sounds like he's reading off a script there, but Emerald Posh asking all the big questions that we all want to know the answer to. Joe, this is food-based, so I feel like I'll offer this up to you as our expert.
I'd rather have it on my fingers. As soon as I wake up, I feel like an ostrich is shatting my mouth, and I have to instantly get the Colgate and deep throat that my toothbrush. So, no, for me, all day long, get it on my fingers.
Yeah, but would you, though? Because then everything you touch will taste of what? Yeah.
Sounds good to me.
Yeah, actually, that's a valid point, actually. I mean, it might be awkward for me in my job, potentially. I'm not sure you'd want somebody with WhatsApp fingers turning up. But, yeah, no, it's...
Imagine your breath. Your breath would stink. It'd be awful.
There you go, Emerald Posh. There's your answer. Fingers, it seems. So, yeah, if you could give Emerald Posh your finger, Jared, that would be great. You can follow Emerald Posh's lead there and leave us a voice message to be played on the show. Just head to speakpipe.com/theyellowblock and you can record a voice note up to 90 seconds, whether that's telling us how wrong we've been on a recent episode, suggesting ideas for the pod, or an early vote for me for host of the season. That's speakpipe.com/theyellowblock.
Or me.
Well, or you. I've just realised, Jared, there's only two of us on tonight, but actually it's... every recipient of Host of the Season is on this episode. So this should be, by that logic, the best episode we have all season, right?
That is true. And that it will be.
Well, now that we've talked about when you would reveal your what's-its cheesy fingers to a potential partner, I feel like we are... I mean, if we don't, you know, shoot up the podcast charts for this, I don't know what's going to do it, to be fair. Yeah. Anyway, I did just want to pick your brains on something, Jared, as well. Dan and I had a friendly debate on the last episode about games at London Road. And Dan was basically implying that away fans bring too many fans and that we should cap their numbers because it's creating an unfair advantage for the posh players. I thought this was absolute nonsense. It suggested a compromise of moving fans from the London Road terrace into the motor point, putting the away fans either in the Yellow Block section or in the London Road terrace. Now, obviously, in your job, you get to mix and mingle with the away fans, so you probably have a different perspective on this. Just wondered where you stand on this debate.
Yeah, I think Dan's talking bollocks, which surprises me because he's an intelligent fella. But again, it's more business head on, and the club need that revenue. You get Derby here with 4,000 fans or whatever they brought. It's good for the club. So, yeah, I do get his point. It's a little bit embarrassing when they've got the full away end and they've got yeah, the block and halfway up to the near the tunnel. It is a little bit embarrassing. It's half a stadium almost, but it's one of them. If we're not filling it, then they're going to. It's catch 22 really. But yeah, I understand what you're saying. But no, for me, you know, if they can sell 4,000, sell them.
But would you swap the fans over? You know, again, you know more of the kind of the fans that are in London Road Terrace. Would most of them, do you think, be happy to switch to the Mother Point? The Mother Point, the Motor Point even. It's, you know, newer facilities, more leg room. It's nicer. You can stand there potentially. For me, like, it would create a better atmosphere, right?
I think it would. I think acoustically, you've spoke about it for a while, that the Motor Point end, I can't remember what it's called now, that would... I think that lets out noise a little bit better than the old London Road. Do I think Posh fans would be happy with it? Probably not. I think it comes down to as well, again, this is my opinion, I've got no knowledge of whether this is true or not, but I think with the away fans, I think it's they're easier to manage in the newer stand. I think from a security point of view, that might be the case. But yeah, if I was a Posh fan, which I am, you know, in the London Road end, had a season to get in there, would I want to be moved? I think more so now because the safe standard's not gone down well, has it? I think it's a nightmare for everyone, really. I would probably be up for a move, personally.
Yeah, I think so too. Plus, you get the extra legroom. I think we should just do a Gillingham, build a scaffold in KFC car park and stick them in there. And
more for that.
Yeah, I don't mean the KFC on Lincoln Road either. I mean the on London Road, sorry, either. I mean the KFC at I think we should just put them there because then Dan will be happy because we won't be able to hear him.
Good job.
Yeah. We're into September now. We can just about warrant looking at the table, I think, Jared. Here's just a brief overview of how it stands. So Posh currently sitting 13th, 3 straight defeats, played 6, we've got 9 points. Top of the table, Steve Evans, Stevenage, played 7, 14 points, followed by Bolton, and then Exeter, Port Vale, Portsmouth, and Cambridge make up the playoffs. Obviously, teams will start to find form and this will change, but it does give us a rough idea of how we expect things to be playing out. Any surprises? How are you sort of looking at the rest of the league?
Yeah, I mean, Steve Evans and Stevenage have surprised me a little bit. Cambridge as well, which makes me a little bit ill. I'll put us at around 14th. So I'm not too shocked on that. I think we will pick up a little bit. I could see us going on a bit of a run as well. But yeah, I'm sure we'll drop off at some point. But again, we're doing okay, aren't we? It is a transitional period. I certainly wasn't expecting playoffs. And I think a lot of fans are trying to get, you know, down to that level now where, you know, we are going to be not struggling, but it's a transitional period for the club, isn't it? On and off the field. So should we be top two this season? No. And if we do have a flirt with the playoffs, like you predicted, Tim, it's going to be enjoyable, isn't it? So, and it'll be a surprise if nothing else.
Yeah. I just, the reason I say that is I look at the top 8, really. I mean, Port Vale and Exeter are both doing great. I think Exeter will hang around. Port Vale, I don't think will. But then just outside the playoffs, you've got the likes of Oxford, Lincoln and Barnsley, who I think will find form. So I kind of feel like the top 6-7 is probably already going to be spoken for. But I think beyond that, you've got a pool of probably about 8, 9, 10 teams that won't really do a huge amount. And I kind of feel like you can be best of that bunch, or best of the rest almost. And, you know, you win 2 or 3 games back to back and suddenly the playoffs suddenly look a bit more realistic. I do expect Wigan to start to make moves. I know they've lost a couple on the bounce, but they look quite good considering they had the points deduction as well. So I think they'll start to climb the table. But it's going to change this year purely because of the squad depth is going to be pushed in all of these teams a lot more than it's ever been pushed, right? And I think that's going to play a big part as we start to come into the winter months.
Definitely. And like I said, with the extra football that's going to be played, the squad depth is vital. And I think that's why the transfer window is going to be what we've done. And it's going to be a massive plus because the bench is looking a lot better, isn't it? So it's going to be an interesting one. And talking of Port Vale, we went to Alton Towers the other day and I've never seen so many Port Vale fans. It was like you would gone to, well, Peterborough and seen a load of Man City fans. It's just the norm, isn't it? It was the Port Vale fans everywhere.
Yeah, I mean, it's that area, isn't it? I always find it really interesting in other places to see how many of them support the local team. And we've had this before. We had this discussion before, I'm sure. But like, obviously, I spend vast majority of my day in Coventry, unfortunately. And it's all Coventry fans. You don't see any other team, perhaps understandably so. They're a big club. But then you go to places like you just mentioned there, which I would argue are smaller than Peterborough. I mean, Alton Towers brings in people from all over the place. Port Vale, they're not a huge club. And yet there's fans everywhere. But go to Peterborough. Do you see Peterborough fans walking around everywhere? No. You see the odd one. Then you see a Man United fan and a Chelsea fan and a West Ham fan. It just feels like the city doesn't back the club in the way that other places do.
No, I completely agree. Yeah, I see two Northampton fans as well. I wanted to give them a bit of a dig, but it was not the time or place. But yeah, Northampton, Port Vale. Like you say, it's nice to see the Port Vale fans there because it's near there and supporting the local club. And it's always been a massive annoyance for me. I know we spoke about it loads. And in fairness to the club, they have done a lot in regards to getting fans in. But it's frustrating because there is so many football fans in the area. And I'm not just talking about Peterborough, but that catchment area, 20 miles radius. But there's no other clubs.
If you're in Port Vale, you've got loads of clubs that you can pick from other than Port Vale. In Peterborough, there's nobody else. It's balmy that we don't get more fans.
It's even more annoying when you do support Peterborough, being from around the area, and you get shit off a lad who's been born in Peterborough and supports, Newcastle or someone like that. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, to be fair, if I ever go out in rugby or Coventry with my...
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
My Peterborough shirt on or anything like that. You can always see people double taking, like, what club's that?
Must have got it off for free from a raffle or something.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's not wrong. Most of it is. But in fact, actually, that's a side note. You've reminded me there, Jared. Just bear me a second while this loads. Just a public message to JNor411 on Vinted. You're currently selling a Peterborough United training top. If you could please reply to my offer that I put in 5 days ago, that'd be great. Thank you. Good. I'm glad you reminded me of that, Jared. Thank you very much. Any other business that you'd like to cover, sir?
No, other than that, this has been an absolute shit show. Forgetting my work PC, using my wife's HP laptop from 2003. Now I'm walking around the kitchen with my work phone. So if it does sound bad, apologies.
No, you sound fine to me. I thought you were saying that it was a shit show, as in, you know, I was trying my hardest.
It's got me and you on it. It's not going to be shit, is it? You know, this is the best rating so far, I thought. How hot is it still? Are you still melting?
I can't wait. The reason that I've skipped through the script is because I need to get this fan back on.
I've the only plus about walking around the kitchen is I've been dunking various parts of my body in the sink.
What's its fingers? Lovely.
Yeah, that's true. And George Boyd with his long hair.
It's just so muggy. I know it's a British thing to say, but fucking, it's just unbearable. Like, bring me the winter, honestly. I hate summer.
Yeah, no, I feel like I'm wishing it away, which I absolutely am. I do love the winter, autumn as well. But it's not 30 odd degrees for me. No.
What annoys me more is how you get lulled into a false sense of security by the weatherman. Because looking at the weather for today, yesterday, it was like, it's only going to be like low 20s. It'll cool down a lot today. And then you get to today and it's like, actually, no, sorry, we were joking there. It's still going to be like high 20s, still really humid. And then you look at tomorrow and it's like, it's going to be like 20 degrees. You think, oh, thank God. But you can guarantee that tomorrow it'll be like 28, 29. And they're just constantly lying to you. That's what irritates me the most, I think.
I've got some trousers out for the first time in many weeks for tomorrow because I've seen it's going to be 16 degrees, apparently, in Spalding with rain. But yeah, we will see. No doubt I'll be getting a pair of shorts on in the morning.
Yeah, I'll be regretting that. It'll be 30 degrees. It's just so humid, isn't it? It's just I know it's British, but I can't deal with it. I might move to Iceland. If it wasn't so expensive, I reckon I'd move to Iceland, you know. Beautiful country as well.
You should do it.
Iceland is a country, Jared. It's not just where you get chicken nuggets from.
Oh, I thought it's where I got my chicken dippers from.
Yeah, no, it's a country as well. Lovely as well. It's very nice. Yeah, there we go. Well, anyway, thanks for listening. And thanks to those who have written to us. We'll be back with a new episode later on this week to preview the Orient game. I don't actually know that for a fact. I'm just assuming that Dan Tottenham Weldon is on that one. If he's not, then we will be back next week to preview the Bolton away game. He'll definitely want to do a preview for that one because it's his local game. Don't forget to follow us on the socials or visit our website, which is theyellowblock.co.uk. That's theyellowblock.co.uk. Thanks for listening. Up the Posh.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.